Good evening, Wahoos and ACC sports fans. This is Frank Maloney with my co-host, Jim Hobgood. Well, the Virginia football team played a whole lot better down in Raleigh, and they defeated NC State 33-6 in what had to be one of the biggest ACC shockers this year. Apparently, the extra practices during the bye week clearly helped. Saturday's big win over the Wolfpack changes everything, in my opinion. Wahoos are now preparing for the Hurricanes. And now this game becomes very important, not only to Virginia, but very important to the Hurricanes and the rest of the ACC. We're glad that you've joined us.
That's right. On Saturday, there was sunshine, bright orange sunshine down there in Raleigh as the Wahoos. And you know, diehard Frank Maloney, he didn't die this weekend. He was alive and well on Saturday afternoon down there at Carter Finley Stadium. Very impressive win, and we'll be talking a lot about that tonight as well as looking forward to next week. But at any rate, this is Need is Hobbo. We're hoping to have Tommy Vigorito in the first half hour. We may have some problems connecting with him due to some of the difficulties they're having up in the Northeast. But in the second half hour, we have confirmed a legend in Virginia football, John Pappett, who played many years ago, but as I say, a legendary guy. And then also in the second half hour, we'll have our injury update, this time with our friend Dr. Jody Smith from Ortho Virginia. And right now, Chris Sill will update us relative to how you can follow the show.
All right, Jim. Who's Talking is streaming live on sportsradio910.com and thesaber.com. We encourage everyone, go ahead, post comments on Facebook, search Who's Talking, and become a fan. All previous shows are archived on thesaber.com or call in to 345-0910. We encourage fans to download the iHeartRadio app to listen live on their smartphone. Comments are welcome, guys.
Yeah, and if we don't make connection with Tommy Vigorito, we'll certainly get him on in a future show. But if we don't, that's a good time to call that 345-0910 and give us your questions or thoughts relative to the victory on Saturday. And as Frank, you know, I think it's a character thing. You know, the thing that really impresses me is not only the performance, and we can break down the performance of a lot of different guys, but to me, it's a great tribute to Mike London, his coaching staff, and his players, that after a six-game losing streak, you know, there's a possibility that the kids would quit, not continue to work hard. But I think, obviously, in those 2 weeks that they had to prepare for the Wolfpack, they worked really hard, corrected some things, forced turnovers, and it looked like an entirely different football team.
Clearly, defense was the story. Early on, there seemed to be more pressure on the quarterback. There was excellent run defense from start to finish in the game. Wolfpack never broke a run the entire game. I think they had something like 20 yards rushing.
18 or 19 yards,
which is
24 carriers.
In the modern era, that is just anemic. But the big thing is they kept pressure on Glennon. They wrapped up receivers quickly and decisively with good, strong tackling. And you know who set the tone from the very beginning? Maurice Kennedy, number 26. He got his first start. And on one of the first few plays, the other team decided to attack the receiver that he was guarding, and he wrapped up hard. And it almost energized, I think, the whole defense. Because then when they tried to throw the ball to Nicholson's man, that was almost, you know, warning, danger. Let's not throw near him because he'll get his hands on the ball one of these days.
Well, the secondary is young, but they're really coming of age. And you're right, the defense. And let's tip our hat to Jim Reed, who last year took a little abuse from some of the fans in some quarters. I always preface this by saying Jim Reed is a personal friend. I've known him a long time, going back to his UR days. But I think he and really the entire coaching staff just needs a tip of the hat. And all of a sudden, you know, the season looks a little different now. You know, you got Miami coming to town. Miami's a good football team. But, you know, now you think, hey, we can win this game on Saturday.
This is a quality opportunity. Nothing more, nothing less. Virginia has had reasonable success against Miami in the last few years. And there's no reason to think that anybody on this Virginia team worries or is afraid of playing the Hurricanes. Shucks, they beat them last year down in Miami. In their stadium, in front of a large Thursday night audience, if I remember correctly, there's no reason to think that at 12 noon this coming Saturday, Virginia can't strap on those helmets and get in there and fly around on the field just like they did against NC State, wreak havoc, get the other team in a dogfight, and if Virginia can just score first again, That's the lone key, I think, this Saturday. If Virginia scores first, I think Miami's in trouble. I think the Virginia players probably will have their best week of practice all season. They're jacked. They now know that those games that preceded this last week's game really are forgotten. I think this team is focusing on the Hurricanes like there's no tomorrow. And honestly, I'm not so much worried about the Hurricanes. I just think if Virginia comes out and doesn't commit any blunders on special teams and can get that first score, I think all of a sudden there could be some momentum that carries over big time. And then all of a sudden the Carolina game comes into play. And how sweet would that be, Abbo?
Absolutely. But I mean, if the defense continues to play well and does not give up the big play, which they haven't in several weeks now. You know, they had some problems early in the season giving up the big play. But if the defense plays well, and then the other big factor is the turnover situation. You know, what did they force? Four turnovers in the game against NC State?
Four or five.
You know, so when you're on the plus side of that turnover situation, it makes all the difference in the world. And that really has been a problem. And as I recall, I don't think Virginia had too many significant penalties in the game the other day, as I recall. Certainly, you know, they've had some killer penalties in tough situations in some of the prior games.
I think the penalties have almost been worse than the turnovers, because the penalties have come at such strange moments in the game that they've been drive stoppers.
Well, drive stoppers, or, you know, my attitude toward it, you know, if you have a third down play and you stop it and there's a penalty that gives the team a first down, that's the equivalent of a turnover.
Or
because you're giving up possession of the football.
Or worse still, you got a block in the back and then your offense has to start 15 yards deeper and the other end of the field, which makes having to drive so much farther. So instead of maybe driving at midfield after playing great defense and pinning them deep.
All right, guys, I'm going to be the referee now. You have been on this all year. My buddy Chris Sill and Frank Maloney. Talk to me about the two quarterback rotation. What do you think?
I was going to ask you guys this question. It seems a lot more like they're playing with each other. You know, watch the NC State game. I'm curious to think what's going on inside Mike London's head about this, because it seems like they're playing with each other. NC State game, they'd switch back and forth. There wasn't that tension that seems to have been there beforehand where they felt like they had to perform or they were going to be forced out of the game. What do you think, Frank?
So this is my two cents, and it's just my two cents. Clearly, I've felt all along that the veteran quarterback should be starting all these games. I like the idea of rotating either Sims or Watford in to get them some experience, because you've got to have a player coming along and developing at the same time, because that's the one position on the field you just don't want to send in a rookie with inexperience into the game. It's just, there's too much pressure today. You know, you can't just hand off the ball twice and then hopefully throw a ball on third and long. It's just, those days are over 20 years ago.
But what do you think? What do you think now, Frank? I mean,
well, London, clearly London and Laser, in my opinion, there's a tug of war going on. They'll never admit it publicly, but I think between the two of them, I bet you when they're watching film, it dwarfs the conversations that the three of us have had in the parking lot going,
well, not me.
Sims, it should be Sims.
I've avoided that conversation. I'm like a referee in a boxing match, had to separate these two guys out in the parking lot once in a while, you know, tell them to go back to their respective corners.
And listen, it was only a flesh wound, right?
I assume you're meaning Laser is a Rocco guy and London may be a Sims guy?
I think that Laser has bit his tongue all year and just being a good foot soldier, worrying about being making the best play calls. It's interesting. Aaron Brooks last week promoted the idea that we were all missing the boat and that David Watford should have been getting reps. And listen, if you've been watching Notre Dame this year, it's pretty much hard to argue with that strategy, because clearly Watford can really run. Sims might be able to get around the corner like he did for that first touchdown. And I give Sims great credit. Not good on his hands. He dropped that pass in the end zone on the halfback option.
But he came back.
He showed huge guts on third down. He got around that end and beat that linebacker and then outran the cornerback to the pylon. But let me tell you, Watford runs through there and dances in the end zone.
You know what may happen? You ever watch quarterbacks warm up on the sideline?
Mm-hmm.
They throw it back and forth, and they have somebody else catch the ball for them, and then they flip it to the quarterback. Maybe the quarterback should catch it himself. That might help in the play.
Of course,
like that.
If he jams his thumb and then can't throw the football, they fire you as the quarterback's coach.
Well,
Sorry.
And I always wanted that gig.
Listen, you want any gig regarding sports. Why don't you just be honest? You turned down the women's basketball coaching job at Virginia, and that was a huge mistake. But that's another day, another dollar.
Yeah, almost basketball season, though.
I mean, so. you let your buddy Dan get it.
But, you know, the interesting thing is, and we haven't even gotten to this point yet, but for the play of the game, there were probably a lot of potential plays in contention for that.
Well, I think the interesting thing is it was very difficult selecting one play. That'll hold you guys guessing until the second segment. But to me, no two ways about it. I think the two quarterbacks on the team have shown how much class they both have, because they don't seem to be at each other's throat. They seem to be encouraging one another.
And we ran the football with success. How has that changed?
Well, you know, that had to happen sooner or later, because finally they've settled in on Connor Davis at one guard position. I think Coscarano at the other. They've rotated some other guys to get them more reps. And Bowanko has finally settled down at center. So the interior offensive line has finally got it figured out a little bit. And the run that Parks broke through on near the end of the game, where he rolled into the end zone over the top of that defensive back, he broke through there because at the point of attack, Virginia delivered some excellent blocks. And it's amazing what can happen if people seal their man. These backs, we have great running backs.
Well, they're certainly quick and fast.
That's all you need.
Well,
they hit the hole when the hole's there. A lot of times this year, they've gone to the hole. And people say, why are they bouncing it outside? I can't tell you how many people have said, why do our running backs keep they're bouncing outside? Because there's a 285-pound monster coming into the hole, and they don't want to get killed.
That's
run away from the 285-pounder if you'd like to live to see the next day, much less the next play.
Speaking of that position, I thought Jake Snyder had an unbelievable game. You talk about Kennedy. I thought that Jake Snyder really was a huge part of that defensive
effort. It's interesting. The left side of Virginia's defensive line, Brent Urban and Jake Snyder, they had huge games. The two of them were just wreaking havoc, and that's Glennon's right side. So he was having to back into Eli Harold, who's coming from the other direction. And I'm kind of surprised there weren't more fumbles, because Virginia was around him all day. But it was exciting. And I think that foreshadows what's going to come down the road. I think first off, Braithwaite is a star in the making. He is breaking through this year at defensive tackle. He's gotten over some nagging injuries. And Evan Marcus, the strength coach, has really bulked him up. And Braithwaite is pushing the pocket backwards. So if you're a Virginia fan, there's a lot to get excited about.
They always talk about the war in the trenches.
We're winning it.
And when you have 248 yards rushing and the other team has 19, you've won the war in the trenches.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I was looking at the season stats and then also the game stats. Virginia, I think, has in the last four or five games has won the battle of yardage gained against their opponent, and they've only won one of these games. The good news is, if they can just keep the penalties to a minimum, and they can keep turnovers to one or two.
Well, that's how in football you can win the stat game, but you can lose the game if you're making key turnovers and you're giving the other team short field or pick six. If you're fumbling and somebody's running into the end zone, which doesn't necessarily show up on the stat sheet. But I mean, if you're winning the game statistically and you do play sound football, you're going to win a lot of games.
Well, no argument for me. I mean, that's the formula. I think the thing that everybody should get excited about is these quarterbacks are coming back next year. They're getting valuable experience, and now they're starting to settle down a little bit.
As are a lot of other people. This team is young.
Only a few guys are graduating. I think what really is exciting over these next few weeks, for you real football fans, as you might call yourself, make sure you're at the Miami and Carolina games, because this team is just liable to play some sensational football and knock off these people. No two ways about it. All right, I think we're going to head to break. When we come back, we're going to do our play of the game, sponsored by LeClaire Ryan. Please stay with us. We're sorry about Tommy Vigorito, but we'll get him back next week. We do have John Pappett coming on at 6:33, one of Virginia's rushing legends.